842 Galesburg's Morning News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Aerith, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher, thanks for being with us here on this Tuesday morning. With us Friday, there will be a fundraising event for the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and the Paladin Children's Center. Joining us this morning to talk more about that and talk about the Child Advocacy Center is their executive director, Brooke Chesney. Brooke, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming in with us this morning and taking some time. I know we were talking a little bit off the air that you've been, just about a year now you've been with the Child Advocacy Center?
Yes.
So you've been around for a little bit, kind of got your feet wet here, right?
Absolutely.
Well, for people that don't know, talk a little bit about the Child Advocacy Center and what it is you do, kind of what your mission is. And, you know, I know it's tough because people think, maybe that stuff doesn't happen here. And it happens everywhere. And it's sad that there's a need for the organization, but there is.
Absolutely. The Child Advocacy Center is a place that makes a scary world for kids a little bit less scary. So when either law enforcement or DCFS is concerned about a child, if they've received a report or there's a criminal complaint, they will call us if there's a child involved. And the reason why is that we want to try to reduce the amount of trauma to that child. So the child will come to our center, which is, it's an office building, but at the same time, we've made it very comfortable. We have a fireplace in the front room. We have toys in the welcome area. We provide a snack and a drink to the kids to make sure that they feel comfortable. So we try to make it seem as comfortable as we can. But when they come, we then do an interview with the child and make sure that law enforcement or DCFS or both have the information they need to proceed on their investigation. So we let the child tell their story. We ask in an open-ended fashion so that the child really is the one that's talking. We don't do the talking, the child does. So we don't lead. We don't do anything that would suggest anything to them. We just want to know what they have to say.
So in some ways, you are there to help the authorities make their case. Is that right?
Right. We help with the investigation by being that neutral fact finder and just allowing the child to talk about what happened or to help prompt the child to think about that event and then go over some details that the police or the DCFS might need to help in their case.
So, for example, you do your part of it and the police say, yes, we have a case. This is going to go to court. So then you guys step in. Your role is to help that child when they actually have to testify. Is that right?
We do help along the way. So after the interview's over, we're not even close to being done.
Right.
What we do is case management. So we talk to the families about what's going on in the case. We make sure that they stay updated because the hardest part when you're in this trauma situation is to not know. So once everybody knows what happened, then the next step is to let authorities investigate and do their part. But they keep us posted. We have monthly meetings with them to make sure that we know what's going on with the case. And we certainly talk to them a lot more than that. So we update the families. We have a case manager and advocate who goes through and calls the families on a regular basis to check up, to see how things are going, to find out if any referrals are needed. Some families are very low income and they could use some help with food pantries or different types of assistance. We want to make sure we can help provide those referrals if that's necessary. The other referrals we also provide are to specialized trauma counseling that our office will pay for. We don't want families to struggle to pay for counseling to help both them, both the children and their families. Caretakers are certainly encouraged to do counseling as well to try to help figure out how to get that family back together again.
Brooke Chesney is the executive director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and the Paladin Children's Center, which you cover Knox County, but also Warren and which other?
Henderson County.
Henderson County as well. I'm guessing it can get pretty frustrating at times because, you know, different things happen on the court side of things, whether it's a plea deal, you know, this child is ready to do this, then there's a plea deal and that changes. Or sometimes, as you said, you want to help this child get counseling, and sometimes the family kind of changes their mind too. So that's got to be frustrating on your part.
Well, there are some frustrations, and we take a lot of measures to try to help, but some are outside our control. So what we always do, we maintain that central point of coordination for the families. We stay rock steady. So if they need us, we're always going to be there. So if a child comes for counseling and says, hey, you know, I'm good. I think I'm good. I want to, you know, just stop counseling for right now. If they would come back to us later and say, hey, I'm having some nightmares. I'm having some symptoms. I'd really like to come see the counselor again. the answer is always going to be yes. We want to make sure that our families get the help they need, and our children too. I mean, sometimes they come back and they need to do counseling with their parents. You know, we want to make sure if they're having troubles and it's based off the trauma that we are there to help them, because we have that specialized trauma counselor that isn't necessarily typical in our community or anywhere close to our community. So we want to provide that for them when they're struggling, because we don't want victims of abuse to struggle. We want to help.
You know, you mentioned that you're rock steady in what you do. That would be so hard, because in your job you hear things that shouldn't happen to anybody, let alone a child. So that's got to be really tough to hold your emotions in while having to hear some of these things that you hear.
It isn't as much for me as it might be for some, because I have done this type of work for a long time. I've worked at Legal Aid in Iowa for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. I listen to stories of domestic violence. I've listened to such severe abuse that led people to be in hospitals and deformed and burned and whatever. So I've heard a lot already. So that makes me really, really adept for this job, because the most important thing you can do as an adult for a child is to not show that it's a surprise. It's really important. I have heard a lot, so I can tell a child, I've heard it all. You can tell me anything, and there are no bad words in this room. There's nothing you can tell me that I haven't heard before. And most of the time, that's true. Once in a while, I hear something I hadn't heard before with that, you know, in that particular situation. But it's all about the same type of thing. And I can really keep that demeanor together for a child, because that's how I can help. That's what I can do for that child on that particular day to make that child's experience better.
Yeah, and I guess that, like you said, with that surprise factor, you don't want them to see that, because you don't want them to think, see, this never happened to anybody else. It's only me. What's wrong with me, I guess, kind
right.
of thing, right?
Right, and yeah. to reduce the trauma, because mm-hmm. letting a child know that, oh my gosh, that happened to you, I can't believe that, is a really additional traumatic experience. We want to make sure that they feel comfortable to disclose whatever happened, so that we can get that full picture and provide that to the investigators. Because, as you said, you know, the sometimes it moves on to the court process. And when it does, the court process is slow. That's probably the most frustrating part about it. There are some cases that fly right through, and we're scrambling to try to make sure a child's prepared, and that's pretty rare. Most of them take, we've had one that's lasted almost 2 years that's just wow. finally resolved. So, and it's not fully resolved. It's still going on to the sentencing stage. So even if you get, you know, even if you go through the court process and there's a conviction, then the next step, you still have to go through sentencing, and there have to be, you know, pre-sentence investigation. There has to be a sex offender evaluation. I mean, there's things that have to happen before you can even get to that sentencing phase, which lasts at least a couple months. And then there may be a surprise in it. So the defense attorney may ask for a continuance again. So now you're waiting again. So getting that final resolution for a child, we're always frustrated to see how long it takes. But we try not to show them that. We try to show them that the process is working. It's helping them get through. It's just going to take some time. And we provide court preparation for the children as well, so that they get to know what the court process is like. If they have to testify, we let them go to the courthouse, and we meet with the state's attorney's office, and we have our victim witness coordinator there, and we have the state's attorney's office victim witness coordinator there, and we all work together to show the child, you know, this is what it's going to be like. This is what your voice sounds like in the microphone. We want them to be prepared, because that's how you're not as afraid. Mm-hmm. Now, our program is working on getting a courthouse facility dog, which would really help in this process, to have a living, breathing creature that's meant to calm people sitting right next to you on the witness box. That would really be helpful, and we're hoping to do that. It's a process. It takes some time, but we are working on an application for that, to have that extra layer of protection for a child.
Mm-hmm. Brooke Chesney is executive director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and the Paladin Children's Center. You've got a fundraiser coming up it's Friday, right? Tell us about the fundraiser, what's going on.
Absolutely. It's called the Paladin's Medieval Auction Adventure. It's at the Knights of Columbus here in Galesburg. Doors will open at 6 o'clock, but the auction doesn't start until 7, so that you can have a chance to do some other things. You can mingle a little bit, see some other people there. We have appetizers, we have beverages, dessert. You can have a little something sweet too. We've had some cakes donated by some great donors. So there's also some other things as well. We will have the live and silent and quarter auctions this year. So the quarter auction's really fun. You can either throw quarters into a cauldron to bid on your items, or you can buy a super paddle so that you only have to pay once. You don't have to put quarters in every time, and it gives you a little bit of a deal on the quarter auction, but you can put your paddle up as many times as you want and you bid on everything and have a better chance of winning. So that'll be fun. We've got the quarter auction. The silent auction, we've been so blessed to have such great people donating. We have great silent auction items and some additional trips this year that we haven't had before. So there's this great program through Winspire that allows us to do some trips. So we've got a Las Vegas trip that allows you to drive an exotic sports car like a Lamborghini or something like that. So that'll be fun. And then you have, you know, a 3-night stay in Vegas to do whatever else you want while you're there. Along with airfare, we also have things like a Cancun paradise vacation, a Disney trip, even an American Girl doll with an American Girl doll shopping spree. Mm-hmm. So, so that'll be fun. We have some different trip kind of things. Magnolia Market. So Chip and Joanna Gaines have been very generous and gave us a nice basket of items. So that will be fun. We also have, there's so many, but even on our live auction, Bradley Smoker has been very generous this year. There'll be a smoker there for live auction. Bob and Mary Scholl were generous enough to donate a child's gator, John Deere gator. So that'll be fun to look forward to. Dave's Auto Body has been fantastic. They're donating several items for the silent auction item, but as well as their Detail for Life. So we're very fortunate to have such great donors. Another donor of ours is Blick Art Materials. We've also had a very generous donation by the Knox County Assistant State's Attorney, Brian Kerr.
Well, that's something you can't do it without these sponsors and them helping out with whether it's the stuff for the auction or whatever. So I know people probably ask, well, how is your organization funded? Are you totally privately funded, or do you get any help from the state or county at all?
We don't get any help from the county. The county actually handles the finances. So the grants come into the county, and the county distributes them for us based on our billing. But they don't provide us any funding. We get some different grants. We get a VOCA grant, which is a Victims of Crime Act grant, which is federal, but it's put through the filter of the CAC state chapter. So they help us with that. We get DCFS funding. That's another one of our major grants. We have VCVA, which is through the Illinois State Attorney General's Office to help victims of crime. And we also receive some local funding as well, Galesburg Community Foundation, United Way. They've all been very generous to help us. So we also need the private donations as well, but we have at least a strong base with the grant support.
Absolutely. Again, the event coming up on Friday, Knights of Columbus here in Galesburg. Doors open at
6 o'clock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And silent auction, quarter auction, live auction, going to be and great food as well.
Absolutely.
And some absolutely great items up for bid.
Yep. And this year we're very fortunate to do a quest for the Golden Chalice so that everyone can meet all the great team members that we work with. We have not only law enforcement, but state's attorney's office. We even have our medical people coming from the Pediatric Resource Center. WIRC Victim Advocate is going to be there. We'll have all the different people that we work with really being involved and letting people know who they are so that you don't just come in and bid on things and, you know, think about this organization that helps kids. But it's more than that. You actually get to meet who we are and see what we do.
Absolutely. And you guys are doing a great service to our community and probably way more than people realize and how many kids you help.
Yeah, we certainly do see a lot of kids. Last fiscal year, it was 132 kids.
Wow.
91 of them were from Knox County. So the need is there. We want to help. And it is referral-based, though. So we can't take civil cases or cases from the community. But if you have concerns about a child, contact law enforcement. Call the DCFS hotline. Make the call if you're concerned about a child's well-being. Let them do the investigation. And if they need us, we'll be there.
Brooke Chesney, Executive Director of Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Palatine Children's Center. Brooke, thanks so much for what you do. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.